Now for our feature story this week, we're at the Banks Peninsula A&P show with Cosmo Kentish Barnes, who's arrived early to avoid the crowds and the heat. He's with show committee member and rural livestock agent and auctioneer, Donald Cook.
We're at Little River in the Witty Domain, where they also play cricket, and the school also uses as well. So, yeah, it's a lovely amphitheatre here. Like, we're in the middle of a valley, on the valley floor here, and either side. We've got hills around us, lovely old oak trees, and the catchment flows into Lake Forsyth. Yeah, it's a beautiful setting.
And you are this year's president?
Correct. So, yep, we have a two-year term, so I was also president last year, so this is my final year of the presidency.
Now, what sort of things are happening right now here?
Well, as we're looking out here, Cosmo, we've obviously got the horses in four rings out in the main oval there now, and they started at 8 o'clock, and they'll carry right through to around about 3 o'clock. Our horse entries are similar, just a wee bit down on last year, and if we look behind us there, we've got the dogs, and this year we've got a big dog section, yard dog, and they started at 7:30, and there's about 58 dogs running today, which is the best numbers we've had. There's competitors up from Gore, and also we've got some first-time novice locals that are also competing today.
And do you have cattle here this year?
We've reinstated our calf section, our pet calf section, but as far as our prime cattle or stud cattle, no, we've pulled the pin on that, and primarily that was due to M. bovis, and it just was getting in the too hard basket, so we got very few numbers, so it just wasn't worth continuing with.
Has M. bovis impacted on your work as an auctioneer?
Yeah, dramatically, actually. You know, when it first came out, you know, through the sale yards, we saw our numbers drop quite considerably coming through the sale yards. There were people that weren't prepared to come to sale yards and buy. They wanted to buy direct off farm. And it's still happening now. People looking to buy stock are wanting to know the history, whether there's been any contact or with bovis cattle, just, you know, the animal health of those animals. They're just looking for traceability more than what they were before, which is understandable. And I suppose the big thing was actually when the outbreak happened, the values of the dairy cross stock in particular, you know, that probably dropped by a third. So, yeah, so it was a big hit for the rural community.
Now, Donald, we've come to the yard dog section. What exactly is happening here?
Okay, there's a course laid out here in front of us, which is emulating what happens just on a day-to-day basis on the farm, yard work on a farm.
Managing the event is local sheep and beef farmer Ben Manson.
It's the Tux yard event. It's a handy dog thing, and you've got to go down into a drenching race and then draft two ways. There's some marked sheep, and draft them. Put the four cleaned, unmarked ones up onto the truck with your dog, all dog orientated. Dog's supposed to do sort of 60-70% of the work, and put them up on the truck, bring the dog back, or the trailer, bring the dog back, put the dog back up the ramp to get the sheep off, bring them down, and then you let the four marked ones out of a pen over there that you've drafted and put them away through that hurdle and down to a gate in the corner, and you're done then.
Is it a time trial?
There is time. It's about 12 minutes to get round, but time's not really the problem. It's just keeping the sheep on track. The man in the white truck there's judging, and it's out of 100. There's three sections, and each section is 33, 33, and 34.
So what are the key things he'll be looking for?
Straight lines from section to section, and a good clean draft, and the dog not doing any incorrect moves.
Now, Dan, the farmer who's out there now, has just released four sheep from the fences, and his dog's doing a good job.
Yeah, and he's got to put them through that hurdle there now.
Yeah.
And he's done it very nicely. And then he goes to the put-away gate, and once he's shut that gate, his run is complete. See, there's had a wee drift off course. It's not a direct line, but it's pretty good, and the sheep are moving and flowing well. And there again, just a wee roll away. So you put the two together, and it's probably a point he's done there.
At the end of the day, do all the competitors get together and have a beer?
Yep, they do. Some have more than others, but that's just part of it, I suppose.
I quite like these events. It's good, yeah, good practical stuff that you do at home, really.
South Otago farmer Trevor Wilson has completed his first run.
How did you do?
Yeah, I was happy with the way the dogs are gone, yeah.
And how many dogs have you got here today?
I've got 408, yes. Bear is he's about 4.5. This is Liz. She's about a 6-year-old Hunterway. The black dog's only 2, and the other one's about 3, so, yes.
How come you've come all this way to compete?
We've got the New Zealand final in Blenheim next weekend, so it's a good lead into that event to see how your dogs are going.
Oh, so you do this on a regular basis, do you?
Yeah, I try and do these ones, yeah. When time allows, or work commitments allow.
If you win this event, will you get points that go towards your national tally?
Yes, yes. There's 4 events around the South Island, and the top 2 dogs at those events will go to the New Zealand qualified to run in the island final, yes. And the top 3 dogs in the island final will go through to the compete against the top 3 dogs from the North Island final for the New Zealand.
How long does it take to train a dog to do this sort of thing?
You put the basic steering and stops and things on it just in the training paddock, which, you know, you can do reasonably quickly within a few weeks. But a lot of it carries on into a work. That's where most of the training gets done in a work situation.
Just in the field?
At work, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I guess the younger dogs learn from the older ones.
Yeah, they can do a wee bit, although we don't normally try and run them together because they can learn bad habits. So, yeah. Normally a dog that does well at this event is probably something that's slow and steady and just doesn't upset stock.
I love good old Little River, and the show's always a highlight of the year. It's good fun, and seeing all the people that come from town and see a different sort of sense of the countryside, and having people travel quite a wee way, you know, to ride in the show, and we get little stalls and everything from all over the place. So it's a great day out, and everyone enjoys it. It's definitely a favourite.
Sitting in a tiny caravan in the middle of the horse arena is Lucinda Hutchinson. She is the voice of the show.
So my job is I'm the announcer for today. I'm in charge of reading out results and organising the rings and whatnot and just letting people know what's going on. And people either radio through the results and the place gettings or else we have papers being run into us and all sorts of other notices and whatnot what they want read out. So, yeah.
You've been involved with this show since you were a child.
Yeah, since I was very little, probably about 2, 3, I've always been riding in the show, me and my 2 other sisters. But yeah, just the past few years I've been doing the announcing in the caravan box, so yeah.
Do you get frustrated that you can't actually compete because you're having to do the announcing all day?
Yes, it is a bit frustrating, especially when both my sisters are riding the entire time and I have to talk about them instead of ride with them. But no, I do wish I was riding, but I do enjoy this as well. It's good fun and you get to see all the shows.
Did you have to do any training to do the announcing or does it come naturally?
No, it's probably Gran who just made me do it from when I was younger. And then, yeah, I like to talk, so it's quite easy, just talk away.
And when you're not doing this, what do you do?
I go to UC, I study at university, and I'm doing a Bachelor of Communications and a minor in Marketing and Psychology. And while I'm studying, I stay in town. I live in town, but during the holidays and that, I'm living at home and helping Dad out and working on the farm. So, yeah.
First place went to Annabelle Wright, riding Hokey Pokey, and second place to Fred Fitch, riding Tia.
We always got brought up riding horses because we'd help on the farm, mustering cattle and sheep on horses because it's all hilly and stuff, so yeah. Horses are certainly the easiest way to get around.
So you still have horses on the farm?
Yeah, we use them a bit for working cattle and stuff like that. It's just life makes life a lot more enjoyable and a lot easier.
Lucinda's dad, local farmer Brian Hutchinson, is a steward for the horse events.
In the morning, generally it is round the ring horse classes, and as you see, there's about 9 height classes, so they're in height and mainly height, and the big hacks are in weight sections for different classes.
There are some stunning-looking horses here.
Yeah, there certainly are. Right in front of us are the big working hunters, so they're generally the bigger-boned horses, but yeah, I think it's about 120 spread out between all the classes, and then you'll get some more in the afternoon who just specialise in hunter jumping, where they go for jumps if it's in the afternoon. So
yes. How long have you been involved in the AMP show?
And we've been dragged along to, well, not dragged along to Working Bees since we're about knee-high to a grasshopper. So, yeah, at least 50 years probably almost. So, yeah, just one of the community things our family's always been tied up with. So we, yep, keep supporting, keep trying, because we need these local things to keep going.
You girls have a stall here. What are you selling?
We're selling lemonade, homemade.
Have you had any sales yet?
Yeah, we've had a few, hoping to get a bit more by lunchtime, but yeah.
What time did you get here this morning?
We got here at about 7.45 to set up.
Yeah. An early start.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a really good position here, haven't you? Right in front of the horse arena.
Yeah, so lots of horses. Food.
And it looks like a lot of people are starting to arrive now, and because it's quite hot today, people are going to get thirsty, aren't they?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I'm sure they sure will. Riding Bewitched of Flaxmill.
A large sign saying "Wool" leads people into the school gymnasium on the edge of the showgrounds.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Right down the bottom.
I'm Peter Wright, local farmer here. I'm fourth generation, so yeah.
And are you sheep and beef farmers?
Sheep and beef, yep.
Yeah. What is happening in here today?
So this is just all our classes, the judges here, and judge each section and go from there.
What sections do you have?
So we have a fine wool section. It could be a hogget, and then in the crossbreeds, it's the same class as fine, medium, and a second shear or a lamb.
There are two judges in front of us. What are they looking for in that wool?
So they'd look for the yield and the micron, and then the type, the colour, the crimp, which is just like a crinkle cut chip.
And what sort of wool is that on the table?
That's a crossbreed second shear.
It's beautiful wool.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much would that be worth nowadays?
That's probably $1, maybe $1.80 a K.
A kilo?
Yeah. It's sad the way it's sort of gone. Yes. No one's, you know, doing too much with it.
Why do you think wool is worth so little at the moment, crossbred wool?
It's markets and the whole, yeah, just people are not buying it. We need to find another stream of something to use it for.
So what would that wool be used for?
Well, should be into carpets. You know, the crossbred wool goes into carpets. Yeah. And a lot of people don't use wool carpets because synthetics are cheaper. And we just need to find another avenue to yeah, because it's a good product.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating, actually.
Whereas behind us,
there's the fine
wool, and that's a different story.
Unreal money, really. Giles gets his DAGs price is our crossbred ewe wool fleece.
So the DAGs off a fine wool sheep are selling for more than
a crossbred fleece. So it's a joke.
Does the price of wool cover the cost of shearing?
No, it doesn't. No, it's definitely a cost now. So it just comes down to animal health.
You have to get the guys in to do the shearing.
You have to get it done. Otherwise, you get fly or you can't go 12 months shearing because the ewes don't do as well, lambs don't do as well, so you need to get the wool off. And you know, the old shearers, they're still going to do their job. Yeah. You know, their costs still go up, so hence it goes on the cocky. So yeah, we can't do much about it.
So what, 20, 30 years ago, wool was the main source of income from your sheep, and now it's meat?
Yeah, it's quite sad, really.
Is that something that farmers talk about?
Oh, we talk about it all the time, but no, you can't do a bloody thing, really.
Well, it's nice to see here all this fantastic wool on show because, you know, farmers are doing a great job and it should be celebrated.
Definitely, most definitely, yep. No, it's good that people still support it, really, because, you know, it's not looking flash, the crossbred.
Have you got any wool here today?
No, not myself, no. Yeah. Been too busy and involved in the show. So, yeah.
And Peter, Donald was saying that next year you are taking over the presidency of the AMP show.
Taking the role over, yeah. Yep. So I've been involved in the show for many years and my turn to step up now.
Now, Donald, not too far from the hall where the wool is being judged, there's the arts and crafts section, and this is in a rather old building, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is the original hall here at Little River and the changing rooms for the rugby club originally, but just for this 1 week of the year we now use it to display the the baking and the arts and crafts section of our show.
Oh, I can smell the cakes from here.
It smells inviting, doesn't it? Well, I'll come and introduce to Cheryl Stanbury, and she is a past president also. She's been a steward of our show for many, many a year, and she's one of those ladies that just gets on and gets things done.
So we have all sorts of nice goodies, lots of cakes, breads, jars of stuff, of relishes, tomatoes, all sorts of things. And the children's, we've got children's section right down the end, and believe you me, there's about 6 chocolate cakes down there, and they look absolutely gorgeous.
And today, are you expecting a lot of people to be walking through here?
Yes, eventually, yeah. It's just a bit manic at the moment because people are still putting entries in. So the judge will come in at 10, she'll judge, and then at 12 o'clock we'll open the doors up to the public. Yeah.
Yes. Are there any cakes you've seen that stand out?
There is one. Can we just squeeze in here for a minute? Sorry. That one. That is a cake.
Oh my gosh, how would you describe that?
I really am not quite sure. That was done by a man, and I think it's absolutely awesome. Very different. Not sure about the fly, but yeah.
Well, basically, it's a banana cake that looks like two half-peeled bananas, and they're huge. And on top of one of the bananas is a fly, a blowfly. How will the judge view this?
I actually don't know.
Peter, to ring 2, if you could please.
The old pens in the livestock area are full of rams and ewes waiting to be judged. David Buttrick is the sheep convener.
What breeds of sheep have you got here?
Dorset Down, Suffolk, South Suffolk, South Downs, Texels, Perendales, Hampshire, and the black and coloureds. So, you know, we're all supported this year again.
Now, what are the judges going to be looking for in these sheep in the pens?
Well, your meat breeds are looking for as much meat as possible on the animal. So that we used to breed tall, long, lanky sheep or rams, but now they're more compact, meaty type rams to get around the hills. Because years ago, all our rams used to go out on the flats in Canterbury flats, but now they're all dairy cows, so the sheep have to go further back into the hill country.
There's quite a few people mingling around the shed at the back of the pens. I guess these are the farmers who are showing their sheep.
That's right, and judges and the stewards. So we have a cup of tea, and then they all disperse and start judging, and that's all finished by probably 11:30.
Running Kaholho. It's 4th place, Charlotte Waddell with Ashton Estee Lauder.
Ted Hutchinson.
Now, Ted, you are the patron of the show here, aren't you?
That's right, yes, yep.
How long have you been involved with this event?
Well, on my life on and off, really. I was born over here, so been away a few years and come back, but, yeah, virtually the whole lot, yep.
You must know so many people here.
Well, not really, but suddenly they appear out of the thing. Luckily, they always remember me and say who they are half the time, but, yeah.
How old are you?
84.
Are you a farmer?
Well, I was, yep. I've still got a farm, but I lease it to a young cousin now, but I still live there and do quite a bit of the odd jobs and things here.
Where is your farm?
Over at Magnet Bay, they call it.
Now, I think I interviewed you on a beach over there where there's a shipwreck.
That's me, yep.
You came down on your motorbike. I was down on the beach.
That's right, yes.
And we talked about this old boat.
Yeah, and the whaling station there and everything, yes. Yeah, the Magnet Bay, yeah, the wreck and everything. Oh, that's right, yes, I remember that, yes.
The judging of the Supreme Champion Pony. If all champions could please go to ring 4 for the judging of the Supreme Champion Pony.
As patron, what is your role?
I'm not quite sure. Just, they usually get the oldest person on the committee or something, and you're there till you die sort of thing, and then they get the next oldest. And mainly, you know, you sort of get someone who's been president and everything like that, you know, involved with the show.
How long ago were you president of the show here?
In 1969 it was.
So that's, what, 51 years ago?
Yes, yeah.
And since then, you're always back helping out?
Yes, yep. That's the trouble. Once you get involved, that's it. But you know, it's great, you know, because while we're having the working bees, you have a meet all your mates and have a beer afterwards, and you know, it's just getting everyone involved, and anyone new to the district, you know, you bring them in and get them involved. Yeah.
We are showcasing baby clubs, native plants, artworks and jewellery, Kiwiana painted pots and stones, fermentation products, herbal teas and skincare. Be sure not to miss this tent positioned by the Banks Peninsula Rugby Club. There will be a demonstration of how to make a succulent with live probiotic yogurt at 11 a.m. All very interesting, so make sure you pop in and have a look.
When you were president of the show 51 years ago, was there a demonstration on how to make probiotic yogurt?
I'm afraid not. No, we hadn't thought of that in those days.
Things have changed, haven't they?
Yeah, so that, things like that is quite a help for the outsiders, you know, just not really interested in horses or something. They can still come and have a day out. And yeah.
So today it must be a real pleasure for you to wander around, see the smiles on people's faces and just know that it's another great, great show for Little River.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, just look around, all the people meeting. It's a day out, all the locals get together and all the animals come, the sheep, the horses, the dogs and vegetables, flowers, it's just wool, everything, you know, just there and gets the whole community involved.
The call for bat number 5, Alice Hutchinson. Bat number 9, Julia Hutchinson. Bat number 21, Daisy Watson.
Magnet Bay farmer Ted Hutchinson ending that story from the Banks Peninsula A&P show in Little River.